Hello and welcome back. This is the Solutions Toolkit. I'm Mike Dawson. I want to talk about the curious inquisitor. This is an attitude and a mode of working that I want you to adopt throughout everything you do. What I'm saying is, and I'm being cynical, solving someone else's problems is the easiest thing in the world. So let's think about that. If you're an alcoholic, that's easy, stop drinking. If you're with an abusive partner, leave him or her. And I'm being cynical when I say that. However, people don't do that. They don't take your advice. Why is that? Well, because people are different. And that means they are in a different place. They are working to a different map to the map that you use. So I have a funny little saying that I have whenever I'm being critical of other people or organizations or anything like that, or someone else's. I'll tend to say, the problem is there are too many people in the world doing things that I wouldn't do. And that's me kind of taking a mickey out of myself, if you like, because we all know that if we could turn everyone into the same attitude as us, the world would be a better place. And that applies to problems as well. So this section is about being a curious inquisitor rather than the person that's diagnosing what is wrong with the client. One of the analogies that I tend to use a lot is this idea of the client being the expert. However, they don't necessarily see the root. And I use different analogies for this. One is, supposing there's a guy who's fixing his car. He's fixing his car and his seven-year-old comes walking up. What are you doing, Daddy? Oh, I'm trying to fix the car, you know. It's a silly example, but it illustrates the point. And the little kid's watching his dad and chatting away, and he's trying to solve the problem. And then the little seven-year-old says, why don't you turn that screw there, Daddy? And suddenly Daddy thinks, oh my God, yeah, I never thought. It's obvious, it's the tension spring, you know. So this little child who knew nothing about mechanics or anything like that has been able to solve it by asking a question. I always say our clients are in a world that they're the expert of. And they are, aren't they? Think about it. If they are the alcoholic, if they are the person with the problem, the drug problem, etc., etc., they know the territory better than us. However, we're the ones who go with them. We're the ones who stand and say, what is under there? Is there a way out there? There's a clear path out. And they go, oh, it looks like a clear path to you, but it's not. It's not, I can tell you. You know, the road could collapse, the bridge could collapse. I hope I'm making that clear. You know, that's kind of the analogy I'm using. They're the expert. It's for us to question them about their world and find out exactly how they see the world. Now, if they say that road's going to collapse, that road's going to collapse. We have to then inquire as to other routes and ways out of it. For us, remember, we are not the therapist. We're not the surgeon. We're the paramedic. We're there to pick up the client. So in the instant where they need our help and they're the expert, then that eliminates things like diagnosing what the problem is. We don't need to know really what the problem is at all or why it affects them in the way it affects them. All we need to do is inquire and probe and go deeper and deeper with them to try and understand their world. And I'm going to show you later tools of how we do that, how we reframe it, how we feed it back to them, and we go over it again. And all those kinds of things are coming in the training. The main principle is that we are only the curious inquisitor. And that young person that's come to you for help, remember the story about a young guy, that's the expert. That's the expert in the room. And if you're in a room with an expert, you ask the expert. That's the principle. I love a quote from Bob Proctor, which says, you know, success is not a place. It's not something you've done. Success is movement. You know, a D student to a B student is success. £1 million to £1 billion is success. And I love that idea. That idea of movement and momentum and moving our client in the right direction. So I'm going to tell you a little story, because once we're diagnosing, we cannot help but put ourselves into their world. I don't take drugs. I don't drink, to be honest. So it would be difficult for me to try and not allow them to be the expert. That's my attitude. So I'll tell you a story that's related to a guy called Alan Cohen and his book, A Course for Miracles. Okay, so when he was a kid, he used to live on a farm, and there was a duck in a field, but they used to have a little bit of a retreat. So people would come and stay, and they would walk past the duck to go and get breakfast every morning. And he was a young guy, a little kid, and he used to sit on the step and watch. So what would happen was, a lady would come along, and she was a singer. So the duck would whack, 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 whack as she passed, and she would say to the duck, "Oh, thank you for your lovely song this time of the morning. It's very, very kind of you." And off she'd go. And then another guy had come along, and he was kind of overweight and stuff, and the duck would whack, 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 same thing. And he'd say to the duck, "Oh, it's always food, isn't it? All you want is food, food, food." And then a businessman made his way to the breakfast room, and the duck exactly the same, whack, 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 quacking. And the businessman said, "Oh, questions, questions, eh? How about some answers for a change?" Now, every one of them people put their own persona on the duck. That's unavoidable. And I love that story because it talks about how we as youth workers have to be careful about putting our persona on our ducks. I'm kidding. Our persona onto the client's issues, our standards, and everything else that comes with that. So whilst we're inquiring, we have to keep positive, and that's something we're stealing from the solution-focused approach. There's a clip from the film Dumb and Dumber, which when I saw it, I realized this is the solution-focused approach in a nutshell. And in the scene, Lloyd Christmas is caught up with the love of his life, and he says to her, "Look, what are the chances of a girl like you and a guy like me, you know, making it?" And she says, "Not good." And he goes, "Well, 100 to 1? And she says, "Maybe 1,000,000 to 1. And he goes, "So what you're saying is there is a chance." And I absolutely love that clip. You've got to watch it. I'm going to put a link in the next section because I don't have copyright to it, but it is in the open. It is in the open market. I'd love you to watch it. So that is the solution-focused approach in a nutshell. It's about being positive. We're going to do that throughout everything that we do. Okay. So there's lots of other examples within the notes and within the book. But it's about being curious. Be positively curious. Be the curious inquisitor. Okay, I'm going to leave you with a quick and very true story. I was working with a young guy at a college. He was self-harming. His parents were very worried about him. His mum was a counsellor, and she'd introduced him to one or two of her friends. And we sat down to talk about the self-harm. It was basically he was scratching and cutting his arms up and down. And again, I'm the paramedic. I'm not the guy that was there to really resolve the problem long term. So please be aware of that. However, we had a chat. We talked about it. And I was curious. So I kept being curious. You know, is it a kind of suicidal thing? Is it something like, "Oh, no. No, it's not anything like that." "Oh, okay." And I noticed that it's up your arms. "Can you tell me, you know, it's not gone deep or anything?" "Oh, no, no. I just scratch and things." And so I said, "Okay, well, why is it just kind of up your arms? I'm just curious. Why do you only do that?" And he said, "Oh." And I think with hindsight, I could see the cogs kind of ticking. It was like, it wasn't going to make sense what he said. But I think he said something like, "Yeah, well, people can't see it then." Okay. So we carried on our work. I continued to be curious. And he was one of those few people that I got to see afterwards to kind of review how he felt about the session. He had stopped completely self-harming, stopped scratching himself. And he was quite pleased with that. It was not a big deal. And when I asked him how and why that had come about, what he said blew my mind. He said, "You were the only one that didn't tell me to stop." And if that doesn't sum up kind of the curious inquisitor, then I don't really know what does. All I could do is work from his frame of reference for the world. And that's really what I did, okay? And I'm not suggesting that there's some cure there for self-harming. I'm absolutely convinced there isn't. However, I'm just saying that by working in a way of being curious with the client, what we discovered was that he had to say out loud, I just don't want people to see. And you can imagine the thoughts that brought on in his mind. Why don't I want my friends to see myself harming? Is there something wrong with that? Well, clearly there is. Otherwise, I wouldn't care that they saw, and so on and so on. That was my assessment of it. But that absolutely blew me away, because we all know he should have stopped and I should have told him to stop. But in his frame of reference, that was not the case. Curious inquisitor. Okay, so I've got an exercise for you, which I'm going to put into the next section. It's something you can use with a colleague, a group. You can do it in all kinds of different ways. However, it's basically a very obvious problem. Like most of them, the answer is obvious, and it's frustrating to not just come out and say it. So what I want you to do is practice the exercise. The exercise are silly, stupid problems that are so obvious anyone can tell. However, I want the client, the person playing that role play, to not be quite sure what's going on. So you'll see more about that in the next PDF. The instructions are on there. Give it a go. And in the bigger training, we tend to do these in groups and round robins and all that kind of thing. But for now, this is for you to try with a client. I want you as the therapist to feel that frustration at not being able to tell him what the answer is. And as the client, to kind of answer the questions and work your way through to the end. It's a bit premature to give you this exercise, but I think it'd be great to try it now and then try it towards the end of the training. So there it is, the curious inquisitor. That's you. You are curious. Go deeper and deeper. And if I was to choose from all of these tools, this has to be up there as one of the core key areas with which we work, regardless of your personality. The minute you take that away, that idea that you can diagnose and you know what's wrong and you can solve the problem, the pressure lifts. Because it's not your problem. Remember the 8 laws of client interaction. It's not your problem. They're the expert, not you. Your job is to inquire and probe deeper and deeper. So there we go. I can talk all day about that one. I absolutely love it. It's at the center of everything that we do. Be curious. And remember, these relate back to the 8 laws of client interaction. They've already got the answer. They're the expert, okay? And it ain't your problem. So when you're curious, they will take you to the answer. Have a go at that exercise. It's a little bit premature, but we'll give it another go later. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. My name's Mike Dawson, Solutions Toolkit.